As always, our scripture lessons are provided to you in the bulletin, hoping that you take your bulletin home and will occasionally throughout the week revisit the scriptures and read them again. They're on the screen for you this morning and will be read for us by one of our newest members, Deja Foster.
A reading from Ephesians and Acts. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son to God, to maturity, to the fullness of the full stature of Christ. Acts. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Deja. Football. We continue to think about lessons for life from the game of football in our sermon series, and I got to tell you, I'm having fun doing research. I'm watching football games and calling it sermon prep. Yeah. So I'm not only watching games, I'm reading articles about this theme, other pastors' sermons on this topic. I'm studying football plays and how coaches coach. And yes, once again, I'm coming across some great football jokes. Just gotta share them. So the question is, why didn't the dog want to play football? He was a boxer. Yeah. Or where do football players go when they need a new uniform? New Jersey. Yeah. I'm waiting for the cue right up there. Or when the yeah. So the little boy asked his father, "Dad, what's a touchdown?" The father says, "I don't know, we're Rutgers fans." So I'm sorry, fill in the blank with different teams and we're all friends again. Perhaps in no other sport is teamwork as important as it is in football. Think about the other sports, basketball, soccer, baseball. Only in football, on every single play, does every player on the team have a specific assignment in order for success to happen. Take a look at this figure on the screen. This is a football play. Now, I don't know whether Spanky and our gang drew this up, or this is from an NFL playbook. And yes, for those football fans out there, there's only 10 X's. This deep safety isn't listed. He's off the page for us football folks. But take a look at the numbered players. They are the offense. 1 through 11, the center has an X. And each of them has a line going from their spot starting the play to where they're supposed to be at the end of the play. Every team has a playbook. The playbook of several hundred plays is condensed for a specific game so that in one particular game on the NFL, about 100 to 110 plays will be on that card that you see the coach hold up to his lips so nobody can read it. All right, those are the plays. For every play, every player, not just the ones on the field, you never know when a sub's going to come in. Every player on the team has to know for their position what they're supposed to do on every one of those 100 to 120 or so plays. That's teamwork. And that doesn't happen in any other sport quite that way. Chuck Knoll, great coach of the 1970s, the Steelers under his leadership won 4 Super Bowls. He said this, "The single most important thing we had was the ability to work together." Well, that's not rocket science. Every football coach from Pee Wee right on up would say the same thing. A team cannot be successful and effective if it doesn't work together. You're a member of a number of different teams. At the broadest level, we're all a member of the team called the human race. There's a lot of people on that team. Bringing it down a little, you're a member of a team called America. This is our country. You're Americans, most of you, if you have citizenship. Then you bring it down further. You live in a community. That community, whether it's here or nearby, but it's consisting of a number of people, and that group of people work together for the common good in some type of a team. You might call it a town council or other organizations in that community. Bring it down further, you're a member of a family. And whether there's one or two people in your family, or 12 or 13, families are teams. You're on the team called family. And then, for our purposes today, we think about the church. You're a part of this church community. If you're a member of this church, you have made promises to do certain things. If you're not a member but still worshiping here, you have some connection to this team that you self-define. So we're all a member of different teams. And every team across the board, from the largest to the smallest, every team is determined to be successful based on two qualities. And coaches, once again, will say this. Humility and loyalty. Humility and loyalty. Humility means that as a member of the team, you don't come first. Humility is the opposite of self-centeredness, of pride, of narcissism. The opposite is humility. People who are humble are people who do not put themselves first. It's said that Bill Belichick, the very famous and excellent coach of the New England Patriots, has a specific skill as he puts together his team, his roster. It is said that he is able to identify self-centered players very quickly, and that if he cannot move them from that attitude of self-centeredness to team-centeredness, you know what he does? No matter how talented they are, he gets rid of them. Because he doesn't want someone on his team who is not humble and thinking about the welfare of others rather than his own stats, his own accomplishments, and his own paycheck. Humility on a team means you're not first and foremost concerned about yourself. Loyalty, so like unto it, is that quality and ability to put the needs of the whole team before your needs. Loyalty means other people and the larger purposes of this team are more important than mine. Loyalty is a quality of teamwork. And we're all on a team. Think right now about two dimensions of this team connection as we think further today about your family and your church. And ask yourself this. As it pertains to the qualities of humility and loyalty, are you a team player? Oh, we can all be on teams, and we are. But are you a team player? And is humility and loyalty a part of your attitude about your team? Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus And he sought to help them think about how that new, very fresh church, that congregation that was just starting, how they were developing and what they needed. And he speaks of these things that I've mentioned. He says to the church, be completely humble. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, for there is one body. He might as well have been a football coach. Be humble. Keep the unity of the team through the bond of peace. Keep the unity of the team, for there is one body. He would say, there's one team. Be loyal to that team. And then he would continue to say, until we all reach the unity of the faith in the knowledge of God. Coach Paul would say, until we're all unified on every play, on everything we do. You see, he's asking the church to use the same qualities that a coach would ask a team to use. And that's why teamwork is central for not only a football team, but for a family and for a church. This matter of being humble is something that John Madden spoke of. John Madden was a great football coach of a number of years ago. You'll see on the screen something he said. He said, self-praise is for losers. Be a winner. Stand for something. Always have class and be humble. Be humble. In football, not everybody's a star. Let's go back to play number 37. Where everybody has a job. We looked at it a moment ago. Now, take a look at this diagram. And those of you who watch football or follow along, you might be able to identify this. I'm not sure what the name of the play is, but it's a play where the quarterback pretends to hand off to the number one person going past him and then takes the ball and runs to the left. Every person there has something to do. You see number 4 going left. Number 2 going left. You see number 8 and 10. Interesting. They're pulling back. I'm sure there's a name for this. Somebody's going to tell me in football. They're pulling back from the line and they're going left to lead the block. All for the quarterback who's going forward. Everybody's going left except number 11. Poor number 11. All he's doing is running straight as a decoy, hoping to pull some defenders to that side of the field who perhaps are going to think that it's a pass play over there. Number 11's not getting any credit. He's not in the play. He's not really important. And yet, that's okay, because he understands that's my part of the play. In humility, he understands that he's not the star, that he's not the one who's being asked to make a big block to free the quarterback to run through. No, he's willing to be humble. He's willing to be loyal to the team and to do his part so that others can be successful. So what? That the whole team can be victorious. Humility and loyalty on a team and in our families and in our church are critical components of our attitudes together. Humility means not being concerned first with ourselves. Loyalty means not being concerned with my success, but the team's success. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal about what makes for a great boss. This isn't a religious journal. This is just a standard secular journal. The Wall Street Journal says what makes for a great boss is humility. One who watches out for what is best for others. And that is true in the family. The team called your family will be successful and effective if in humility you are looking out for the best and the welfare of every other member, and if every other member is looking out for your welfare. That's what teams do. And the team called your family will be successful if in humility you're not concerned about whether you're getting your way or doing what you want, but looking out for the welfare of the whole family and each other member of your team. Humility and loyalty to your family. Keep family strong and prevent disagreement and division. Do you think after a play, number 11 comes back to the huddle, and he starts whining, why do I have to be the one who goes over there? Why can't I be a big important part of that play to the left? Why do I have to be the decoy? Nobody's paying attention. Do you think he's doing that? Of course not. But that often is what our families sound like. Family unity has to do with attitudes of humility and loyalty. Are you a team player in your family? Are you humble in caring about others more than yourself? And loyalty. Loyalty means that nothing gets in the way of team success. It's amazing what football players will go through to be a successful team. They will work and practice and sweat and do drills until kingdom come for the one purpose of the team's success, and they are loyal to it. Peyton Manning, a great quarterback, retired a couple of years ago. Near the end of his career, was just the star of all-star quarterbacks. And Peyton Manning was known to be successful when everyone on the field. This is what he said. He said, being there every week for my teammates is important to me. Being there every week for my teammates is important to me. And Manning was known never to take a shortcut, never to take a few less reps so that he could rest while everybody else went on, never to shortchange his team, but always to be 100% participating in everything the team did. Even though he was the star successful quarterback, and he could have sat down for half the practice probably, and the coach would have said, will you rest? Because we don't want anything to happen to you. But he wouldn't do it. Loyalty to the team, no matter who we are. Loyalty means that the team comes first. And we ask ourselves about the church. In our lives in the church, do we have a humble attitude of service, not looking for attention, not wishing that we were in charge, but are we willing to let others and us on this team do the work? Are we willing to be humble one with another? And are we willing to be loyal to the purposes of Christ for his church? Loyalty has fallen out of favor in many places in our country. I will always remember a businessman who came to me, and he was devastated. I mean truly devastated. Working hard as a salesman in the paper industry, having served and worked hard and been very successful with lots of clients and customers over the years. But he came to me devastated one day because for a second time in a week, one of his faithful customers that he had sold to for some 15 or 20 years had said to him, oh, sorry, I got a little better price break from another company. I'm going with them. And he looked at me and he said, there's no loyalty anymore. There's no loyalty. And it really broke his heart. Not because of money, but because it meant something to have had that relationship, and then loyalty went away. Loyalty to our families and to our church keeps things together. Now, in the church, loyalty doesn't mean you're going to agree with everything, because churches are famous and always have been, read the scriptures, for disagreements and arguments. Absolutely. And if you hang around here long enough, you're going to disagree with me or some other church leader about something. And you're not going to like this, but you're going to like that. And lots of people just say, well, I'll go to another church. Guess what? After a while there, got to be something wrong there. Loyalty to a church means that the purposes that Christ has put before us in this place and this time come first. And in humility, we serve together. And if we disagree, we do so without being disagreeable. Loyalty in the church is what Paul was looking for. There's 11 people on a team. Pee-wee all the way up, 11 players. But actually not. You see, every football team has a 12th man. In football and other sports as well, but particularly it seems in football, the 12th man is the crowd. There's a stadium with a great picture of the facade where the student section sits for the games. And on the facade it says 12th man, because those students are great, great cheerleaders. The 12th man has the job, the crowd has the job of encouragement. Being encouragers. From cheerleaders right on up to the whole crowd, as the team is moving along, and perhaps you've been in great crowds and stadiums, you know the feeling when everybody rises to their feet and the play is about to begin, and maybe the game's on the line, and everyone is cheering and encouraging. That's the 12th man. And the 12th man is needed. The 12th man is needed in the family. We need to be people in our families who consistently cheerlead and encourage each other. It's a hard world out there. You know that. You go out, whether to work or other activities or at school, and we get beat up and we get pushed down. And what is it in the family that is so potentially beautiful and unique is to come back and to see our family members, whether it's daily, weekly, or whenever, and to find a word of encouragement and cheerleading us to keep on going. Good Christian families are cheerleading families. Husbands with wives and wives with husbands and parents with children and grandparents with grandchildren. Cheerleading, encouraging. And that's what Barnabas did. In the passage from Acts, Deja read a moment ago, it talks about how the church in Jerusalem was doing well and they sent Barnabas. Who's Barnabas? Didn't do anything famous or tremendously outstanding in the scriptural record, but Barnabas was simply a man who had the gift of encouragement. His name means son of encouragement in the Bible. And they sent Barnabas to the church, and this is what happened. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, says the scripture, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Every person needs a Barnabas. You can be a Barnabas, a cheerleader, an encourager for your family and for your church. Every once in a while, I'll be sitting in a meeting or a gathering, and particularly if it's not one that's commonly together or maybe some visitors, and we'll go around the table and we'll give our name and, you know, what do you do at Trinity? So when it comes to be my turn, I simply say, I'm Frank, I'm the head cheerleader. That's what I am. But you're cheerleaders too. Because we all need the encouragement that we can give each other for the work of Christ. Because this is important and hard work. This mission, this ministry. And many of you are doing it so well and so often. But you need encouragement. And I need encouragement. And that's what we do. Imagine the crowd at the stadium. The play is about to start. It's important, a big play. And the whole stands. They arise as one. Maybe they're waving their colors. And they start to cheer. And the crescendo of noise builds and builds and builds until that whole stadium is almost deafeningly loud. All to encourage the team. That's what the church needs to do for one another, that we might be effective and successful. That's what your family needs, that you might be unified and stay together on this journey. Let us be cheerleaders, one for another. Someone once said, encouragement is like peanut butter. The more you spread it around, the better things stick together. I like that. And so we think of family, where humility and loyalty are critical to success and effectiveness. And we think of the church, this church, where humility and loyalty and encouragement are the glue which holds us together and moves us forward. For we're all the church. The Appalachian Service Project, you're all the Appalachian Service Project. The Bread for Life Ministry, you're all the Bread for Life Ministry. The B1 Fast, you're all the B1 Fast. The DC Encounter, you're all the DC Encounter. The healing services we hold, you're all the healing services. The Interfaith Hospitality Network, you're all a part of that. The GAIN Ministry, you're all a part of that. The Lay Visitation, the Lord's Pantry, the Kid Venture, the Dinner Church, the Confirmation, the Blood Drive, you're all a part of that. We're all on the same team. The Midnight Run, the New York Nine, the Prison Ministry, the Prayer Shawl Ministry, you're all a part of that. We're all on that team. The so-and-sos, the small groups, the thrift shop, the student ministry, the Safe Harbor, the Vacation Bible School, you're all a part of that. We are all a part of this team. And the team is successful and effective when there's teamwork, when there's humility and service, when there's loyalty to the cause, and when there's encouragement one with another. May we be successful and effective, even as a football team wants to be. May we be effective and successful in doing the work of Christ for Team Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we know clearly what Paul desired and taught. We know clearly what Barnabas did. And we know what you desire. You desire our families to be strong and unified. So Lord, help us in humility to serve one another well in our families. Help us to maintain loyalty. And help us to encourage each other in our families. And Father God, you've created your church for great and important and vital work on this earth. Help us here as well to remember that we're all on the team, Lord, no matter what part we play. And some of us are encouragers and some of us are quarterbacks. But Lord, we're all a part of this team, so help us in humility and loyalty to be faithful that your team might do your work and accomplish your will. We ask this humbly in your holy name. Amen.